The NFL offseason hits the road with TireOutlet.com. 1010XL Scouting Combine coverage is brought to you by Peninsular Pest Control. We're the critter getters.
All right, that's going to be a wrap for this program, but don't go anywhere because two important developments are happening here. A, we're passing the baton to Jaguars Thursday. B, we're on TV. Do you know that?
Yes. Jaguars.com.
Lights.
I mean, I know.
How good is this?
This is what we do.
Jaguars.com. I mean, look,
the
1010XL 92.5. Look at the branding we're getting.
A little publicity.
You know what tonight
nice.
Is about? Branding.
Yeah.
JP. How you doing, brother?
It's doing great. What a week it's been. So far, it's only been 2 days. But
yeah.
What a week it's
been. Yeah. You know what, though? It has been a good 2 days already. It's a fun trip out here.
Today was like a whirlwind. I mean, because the first time the players come out and talk, I mean, you guys talked about this all day. But the last of the executives talk today, and then the players come in. There's running backs and offensive linemen coming through. And there's the stupid bench press is right behind us with the yelling and the.
I'm digging it.
I mean, I don't know.
It's You're not digging it?
Because every time we come here, it was always in the lobby, and it's a sterile environment and very quiet, and everybody's.
But everybody's had
in.
That coach in high school. Goes, come on! Come on!
Right.
One more. I love that guy.
I don't want that guy again. I'm done with that guy.
That guy's fantastic. were you here, JP, when Leonard Fournette came into the podium?
Yes, that was something to see.
I mean, I'm telling you, Springsteen wouldn't have a bigger – wouldn't it sound – I mean, none of the coaches or GMs, none of those guys had the following he did.
Right.
It was – I mean, I thought Elway – there'd be more for Elway. Elway probably had the most of all those guys. Fournette had way more.
Yeah, everybody's looking forward to those guys. That was the big talk, right? Cook, Fournette. Those are two of the biggest names here. We haven't heard from the defensive line yet.
Right.
That'll be another big day when Myles Garrett comes up here to the podium as well. We'll see what he has to say about it. And Jonathan Allen with his arthritic shoulders all of a sudden.
That's
I don't know how that works. Yeah, there's always something new with that. But it's always a big scene. And it's just so much grander now with eight podiums and eight tables all at the same time. It used to be, three podiums alternating with tables all around.
This is better.
Is it?
Yeah, I think this.
I don't think it's as good for coverage because you can't get two guys at once.
Yeah, you know? but it's more. I like the room better. I like the fact that it's more open.
Maybe I'm old fashioned.
Well, you're an old guy, not young like me. But bigger question, second big question: am I at Osier's seat?
I don't. You might be.
I'm at Osier's seat. You know
I think
what?
We're all at
you know
Osier's
what?
Seat.
He doesn't like it.
No,
you get a little ornery over there.
Stay as long
as
you want.
I'm going to take my time. You know,
do it.
Because
there's no rush.
He's a little testy. Ozone's a little testy right now.
Shocker. Ozone's testy.
Yeah, so I should get up now, and so Ozone can sit down. And I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it slowly because I'm kind of enjoying this.
Take your time. Let him squirm a little bit over there.
You coming to St. Elmo's tonight?
I could be I could have my arm twisted.
Ozone's coming. Okay. Unless he's mad at me for sitting in his seat.
That may or may not be a selling point, Frank.
Unless he's mad at me for sitting in his seat. So what's coming up on Jaguars Thursday?
Oh, we've got a packed show tonight. As you said, John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, starts us off. Chase Goodbread, college football 24/7 on NFL.com. He'll join us, and we'll talk some of the prospects who talked today to the media. And then Robert Klimko from Monday Morning Quarterback. He's got a story coming out about some of the younger generation of coaches that use technology to help them get over the edge, including one on the Jaguars staff. The story's coming out in the next few days.
Can't wait to hear it. I'm going to get up. Ozone's going to get down. Have a good show.
All right, man. We'll see you later.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the Indiana Convention Center in Indianapolis, the 2017 NFL Scouting Combine continues with Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli is around here somewhere doing something else tonight. Jeff Loggeman has the evening off. Flying solo. John Osier jumps in to start off this evening.
I'm glad Baselli's not here.
Are you really?
I'm going to lay it right out there to start. I would not be here if Tony Baselli was on this show.
Well, we're glad that you're here. How about that? What a day it's been here in Indianapolis with the first time we've seen players on the podium. It's always a little bit of a buzz. We were talking with Frank a moment ago during the crosstalk here about the differences between the years past, and you've covered a lot of these, of course, here in Indianapolis, this thing has grown, and the old-school football people involved in this are cringing right now the way this is. But it's the bigger and grander thing in the NFL. People want to have access to something like this.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I don't mind. Open up the combine to the fans is terrific. Mm-hmm. Probably should have been done long ago. Having on NFL Network is terrific. Opening up to the fans and having them be able to watch it has helped the whole event. From a personal standpoint that fans have no reason to care about, I don't like this setup, this room, because it makes it difficult to cover from a writer's standpoint. Yeah. But I don't expect 99.9% of the people to care about that. That's my little gripe. And so what?
Well, we've heard about it.
Yeah. And that doesn't matter. I don't pretend that most people watching that will care. If it allows fans the opportunity to see more of these guys, to consume more of this event that's become a more fan-friendly event, hey, more power to it. I'll work around it. I'll complain about it a lot, but who cares?
We know you're going to complain about it.
Nobody cares if I complain. No. That's fine.
But it's cool to see. I mean, you got eight big podiums all lit up and all the tables on the side, radio rows.
I'm guessing it's better for fans. I'm guessing it's providing more television exposure and more ability for fans to see these guys talk. And if it is, fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Jaguars had some exposure today here as well. David Caldwell made the media rounds here. We had him on Jaguars.com Live earlier today. Also, there's not a lot of new coming out of that, right? But still some of the same points we've heard in the past few times that Brass have talked here.
Well, it was a little bit new in the sense that he said that Prince Amukamara and Jonathan Cyprian will definitely test free agency.
The definitely part is new. I think everybody was kind of thinking that that would probably be the case, right?
Yeah, I mean, but they are, which means it was the first time the team has really said, yes, these guys are going to test free agency, which doesn't necessarily mean they'll get to free agency. If you remember last year, Mercedes Lewis tested free agency, was able to talk to some people, and then I believe he re-signed right before the league deadline or right after it in terms of right when the league year started. So it's not a given that just because a guy tests it that they will be gone. But in the case of Cyprian, I'd be surprised if he's back. If he tests it, because he's a guy who is getting a lot of play in the national media as a top guy. Caldwell today off the podium talked about wanting Cyprian back and didn't really use that phrase as much with Prince. Mm-hmm. So I think they sort of know that Prince, if he tests, it's going to be gone. It feels like they're looking another direction at cornerback. I think they're less sure that Jonathan will be gone, but in my experience, when one of those top guys tests it, if they get out there, they don't come back. Yeah. So it looks to me like you're going to have a 50% new starting secondary. Just by Dave's body language today, I think they expect that. I think they're okay with that. He used the words, the draft and free agency are great in those areas. I never think the free agency is great in any area. Mm-hmm. But
there's a reason they're out there.
Right. Yeah. But you do have a couple of guys this year out there, Boye and Gilmore, who are good players. I look at the list, I think they got to be targeting Boye. Because if you're giving up Prince Amukamara and thinking you're going to get something in free agency, that's got to be the guy. If the Jaguars don't make him rich, somebody's going to make him rich to keep the Jaguars from making him rich, is my thought. Mm-hmm. So that's one to watch. But it's going to be a new-looking secondary, and I think they're okay with that.
Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio. Coming up, Chase Goodbread, college football 24/7 on NFL.com. And Robert Klimko from Monday Morning Quarterback. We start off with John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. Yeah, staying on the – well, let's move over. Offensive line is going to be a key coming up, right? The left tackle position is in the process of being addressed in the trade, which happens March 9th officially. The question will be what happens at the guard position.
Yeah.
Will they bring a guy in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're – I'd be stunned if they don't go after Boye at this point.
Yeah,
but I'd be doubly stunned if they don't pursue and land one of the top guards. It just feels like that's the direction they're going to go. I don't know if all of that jumbled up is going to mean a running back at number four eventually with this run-oriented offense. I think some of that makes sense. But I don't think there's any question they're going to go after guard in free agency. They've got money. It's a spot where it looks like if you're willing to pay a guy $10, $11 million a year, that you're going to be able to get somebody who's an impact guy. The question to me is sort of if that's not the route they take, and maybe they go throw a bunch of money at Kelvin Beachum to come back, that keeps being out there, the Beachum thing.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
And when Dave talked about Beachum off the podium today, he talked about Beachum's ability to play guard, but he also followed it up with he thinks Kelvin's a left tackle. I know Kelvin thinks he's a left tackle. So does bringing Beachum back mean you move Albert? Is there something else there? They're keeping a lot of options open. As I say that, all of that sounds a bit silly. It sounds a bit like it's going to be hard for that, all come together. So I think Albert plays left tackle. I think you have one of these free agent guards playing one of the two guard positions with AJ Cann possibly moving Linder at center and then Jeremy Parnell. The other thing about the offensive line in recent weeks, you hear more and more positive talk about Parnell.
Especially at the end of last season, the last month right. or so especially.
I guess once he shook off the injuries, yeah. They think he played better. There were certainly times where he seemed like a weakness last year, where he wasn't playing at a high level. There was sort of a feel early on in the offseason that Cann Parnell, one of those two guys, may not be part of the mix. The more it sounds, it'd be surprising if they're not in the mix. But again, they're both guys who sometimes in this league, as the league turns, meaning turns from February to March, you get situations where guys are starters, but if you can find an upgrade, mm-hmm. then there may be a change there. And there's still a few spots along the Jaguars like that, and I wonder if some of these linemen we're talking about don't fit into that category.
And it's funny, like in the next couple of days, there could be another surprise or two in the league where a guy disappears off your list all of a sudden. That happened the last week or so where yeah. guys that were out there all of a sudden were gone, franchise, this or that.
That's
less likely
now because you're talking about guys who have already been tagged, took a lot of them off. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and that's always a danger of free agency. I mean, there are fans who get tired of me talking free agency down, and I get that. But it's just a tough way to get guys, especially impact guys, who are going to grow with you. So they're going to take some swings. They're going to spend some money next week, and we'll see.
Yeah, we'll talk a little deeper in the prospects here at the Combine with Chase Goodbread coming up in a little bit. But offensive linemen spoke today. It's not really a great offensive line draft class. That's kind of the consensus around the Combine this week.
But it might be an okay situation for the Jaguars, meaning they're not going to go after it at number four overall. But in the top of the second round, I think there's a chance they go quarterback there. Mm-hmm. There's just something that it feels like it might be one where the opportunity arises for quarterback for the Jags there. But in the second round, there will be guys there that are attractive on the offensive line early in the second round. And that wouldn't stun you. That's going to be the interesting pick this year. For the Jaguars, I think, is that top of the second, because that guy's going to come in and play. And you do wonder if that might be where they think that they see something in a right tackle or a guard or something like that. You never know.
You are writing for the website this evening about the running backs who spoke today. Fournette, Dalvin Cook, the top two there. And, they draw a crowd. There's no doubt
sure.
about that. And, hey, it's become, as you say, it's becoming more and more, I guess, becoming less likely that they go running back at four. But
well,
it's possible.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how less likely it's becoming. I've written about it, it seems like, three or four times and talked about it on the radio a lot in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason that I'm sort of writing about it and talking about it so much is I can't figure the darn thing out.
I know, right?
And it's going to be a topic.
Because they're
for
not
the next,
talking about it.
Yeah, and they won't.
Works.
I get that.
That's not how
but
it works.
On the one hand, you say, boy, you can get quality at that spot late in the draft. And on the other hand, there keeps looking at this thing like, how can you make an impact right now in this offense? You're not sure on Blake. you want him to be good, but you want to help. Now, you want to talk about helping Blake. Well, one way you could help him is you build up this offensive line, you turn yourself into a running team, and you get a dynamic back who is a difference-making, elite-type guy.
Right.
The purist in me, JP, doesn't love that idea because I think running back at number four is too high. But I could see the thinking, I could see the logic, and maybe following the Titans pattern from last year, you go against the grain of the league, you start running, you figure that's what you want to do, and you're better at that than most people when you turn that into your identity, and that may be a way you can change the dynamic of this offense right now. Again, I think that's a little bit, I wouldn't put a percentage on it, I wouldn't say that's a 80% chance they do that. But I don't think it's out of the question, and I think it's something that's going to be a legitimate theory as the draft approaches.
You are a little less intense on this topic than Pete Prisco is, by the way, CBS Sports columnist, who says hell no to a running back that high.
Well, yeah, I mean, philosophically, I know Pete hates that idea, and, you know, I don't like it for many of the same reasons.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you can get it later in the draft. But again, right now with this franchise, you know, I don't think you're trying to build for the Super Bowl next year for this franchise. Right now you are trying to get some traction and something that you do well. They didn't do very much well offensively last year. So if you think that running the ball is going to be your thing and you think that one of these guys can be a bell cow type guy, and if you believe in your heart of hearts that you need that, then with the draft not being that strong at the top in some other situations, maybe this is a year you go number four and you say, we're going to be this sort of a team with this guy. Again, I don't think it'll happen, but as I wrote today, I don't think it's absurd.
John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. We'll look forward to your writing from today. And
well, at
of
least
course,
somebody
the rest
will,
of the week.
JP.
Yeah, that makes one or two.
That's right. That's
maybe
one
Miss
us,
Ozone is another.
And I will look forward to Chase Goodbread, a good old friend of mine, and always good to hear what he has to say. So.
Looking forward to that. It's an all-writer edition of Jaguars Thursday tonight, by the way.
And it's a 66% X Times Union writer. So it's no, Chase does a great job, and I know fans will be excited to hear what he has to say.
Thanks, Johnny O.
All right, JP.
Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. McGowan's AC is giving you a chance to get your electric bill paid for the entire 2017 season. Just guess the weekly order of opponents for the 2017 Jaguars season, and you could win. Enter today at McGowansAC.com. We'll come back and talk prospects with Chase Goodbread. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
We continue from Indianapolis at the Indiana Convention Center. The 2017 NFL Scouting Combine rolls along. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick with you in Indy with Chase Goodbread. College football 24/7 on NFL.com. Great to have you. Thanks for coming
on
down.
Glad to be here.
Man.
Enjoy it always.
I haven't talked to you in a while. We try to get you around draft combine time a lot of years because you're locked in to all these. You know every single guy.
No, not all
300 guys. No. You've got them down, right?
No. Nobody does.
No, it's tough.
Even the guys that are paid to know every guy by draft day don't know them all by this point. You know, I mean, it's a lot of input.
Before we get to some of these prospects, your background, you were in Jacksonville. You were a Times Union writer.
Born
for a
and
long
raised.
Time.
Yep. Covered high school football primarily for a lot of years. Wore a few different hats at the Florida Times Union, as did John.
Everybody did, I think, at some point. So glad to have you back on Jacksonville airwaves here. Today was, it was running back day, and it was offensive line day. What is your biggest impression of today? Is it the top two backs? Is it an offensive lineman that kind of snuck under the radar? What stood out to you today?
You know, you got to talk about the running backs. It's a weak year for offensive linemen and especially offensive tackles for this draft. The running backs, on the other hand, are loaded. Rick Spielman, the GM of the Vikings, just said yesterday that he can't remember a deeper running back class.
Yeah.
And so even beyond Fournette and Cook, who seem to be everybody's 1-2, 1A, 1B, what have you, you've still got guy after guy after guy who could make an impact this fall somewhere. Christian McCaffrey was here, as we know. James Conner from Pitt was down there. You've got Samaj Perine from Oklahoma. Joe Mixon, who's not even here. And Alvin Kamara from Tennessee.
Good player.
There are scouts out there that believe he's got a shot at sneaking into the back of the first round, believe it or not, even though he's pretty small.
With all that, do you believe in a top 10 running back?
Is
it deep enough to not worry about it?
I think you have to. I think, and I recognize that the careers are short, and I recognize that the durability is an issue, et cetera. But when a guy like Zeke Elliott does what he did as a rookie, people take notice. And yes, Dallas's offensive line is a bunch of mashers, and not every club in the NFL has a line like that. Would Zeke have done the same thing behind an average NFL offensive line? No. But still, if you got a top 10 offensive line, why would you not take a top 10 back if you really feel like it could make that kind of difference?
That's fair, but it's a big argument and a short – that's a lot of draft equity to give up.
That's right.
A lot of people feel that is. Chase Goodbread with us on Jaguars Thursday. Defensively, this draft has it all, man. They got it up front. They got the second level. You got the secondary. And anything you want, you can get in this draft, right?
The scouts I've talked to feel like, for the second year in a row at least, this is a significantly deeper draft on the defensive side of the ball, notwithstanding the great running back class. It's just deeper on defense.
Yeah.
And cornerback is a strong area. Safety is a strong area. Plenty of pass rushers. One of them probably going number one, as we know, Myles Garrett from Texas A&M. At least he's the leader in the proverbial clubhouse. But, yeah. A lot of defensive talent. I think the cornerbacks especially, and those are hard to find.
Yeah, they are.
You hear scouts and coaches lament often about how tricky it is to find somebody that can play at that position and how quickly most drafts run out of decent corners that can help you. I think this draft is going to be one of those rare ones where you'll see cornerbacks going off the board on the third day that can help people.
Talking to somebody in the hallway the other day, and it was right, I think we were coming in from the airport, and the first thing they talked about was getting ready to watch Myles Garrett run the 40. They were excited to see the time of that. That's the first thing on people's minds this week was Garrett. He is pretty much the consensus number one guy. And watching him, you're an SEC guy in SEC country. It's legit. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
He is spectacular. There's no doubt about it. Caveat, this time 12 months ago, the consensus number one was a guy named Laramie Tunsil.
Good point.
So as we know,
good point.
A lot can happen between early March and late April.
Yeah.
Not that Myles Garrett won't be the number one pick, but there's a ways to go. And you know what? Laramie Tunsil's off-field issues, et cetera, that's not even what knocked him out of the number one pick. Mm-hmm. What knocked him out was the trade that got – Titans out of the first pick, and then a quarterback is going to go number one. That's what knocked Tunsil out.
No doubt.
So, you know, maybe we see a trade at the top of this one that knocks Garrett out of there. Who knows?
How good of a player is Jamal Adams from LSU, the safety?
He is awesome. I think he can play. And I think what makes him special is he can cover a tight end. He can cover a slot guy. He's got enough man skills, I think, man-to-man skills to hold his own on third down, not be a liability on third down. He's not a box safety, but he hits like a box safety. He's been starting at LSU since he was a freshman. And, you know, they really turn out DBs at that school. You know, a lot of schools call themselves DBU. Florida's one of them. LSU, Ohio State. For my money, it's hard to argue with what LSU puts out at that spot.
What else you got the rest of the week here? And you're here until when? Monday?
Monday I fly out of here.
It's a long week in Indianapolis. What else is on the docket this week for you and your coverage?
Well, the busiest days for me and for a lot of people, I'm sure, are the days when you have both player interviews and workouts going on at the stadium on the same day. Well, except for some bench pressing today, we really haven't hit that yet. They'll be over there running 40s, et cetera, the next few days. And when there's player interviews going on at the same time, sometimes you wish you could be in two places at once. Can't do it. And Monday actually is kind of a slower day because on Monday, player interviews are done and almost everybody's already out of town except the DBs. The DBs work out Monday. No media interviews. They're just running and jumping and doing their thing. And so usually on Monday I can break out of here a little sooner.
I will say the writers are in a second story up here. You missed the hooting and hollering of the bench press over here today. So congratulations on that.
I didn't miss that.
Chase, it's good to see you, man.
Yeah, man.
Chase Goodbread from College Football 24/7 on NFL.com. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. We'll come back with Robert Klemko from Monday Morning Quarterback. And this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Witness the fight for the green jacket live in Augusta with fellow Jacksonville Jaguars fans and Prime Sport. Visit primesport.com/Jaguars or call 800-591-9198 for more information. Jaguars Thursday continues from the Indiana Convention Center in Indianapolis. J.P. Shadrick with Robert Klemko from Monday Morning Quarterback. Good to see you. Thanks for coming down, man.
Good to see you, man.
Appreciate it. Coming down to this level. I know the writers like to stay upstairs out of the beehive of activity, right, this week?
This has become Super Bowl Radio Row, you know. And I actually kind of like it because the coaches and the GMs, I don't know if you noticed, but they're staying down here for longer. They're doing a little bit more availability than they did previous years.
Yeah, I could see, yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
But the one thing that sucks is this noise in the background.
Well, you get used to it after a few hours,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And the fans are back. It's different because you used to be in the club lobby over there, and everybody's typing like this and the thing. And it has grown. And we were just talking off the air. This is your fifth. I think it's our fourth or fifth to come in a row. And just in that time period, it is just mushroomed out of control.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember my boss, Peter King, telling me about the first combine that he went to, and it was like some enormous secret. He said it was like a dozen reporters there, and like they had to beg their bosses to justify the travel and the hotel stuff. And now, you know, every NFL team alone sends five or six guys that work for the team website, right?
That's us. Yeah.
And then you add to that the independent journalists. It's crazy now.
It really is. No doubt about that. What would you say, big picture NFL look here? What is the biggest story around the league if you had to pick one? Is it the Vegas stuff? Is it the... is the concussion stuff still out there? Is it something that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head? What would you have to, pick one right now?
Well, I think the general relocation story ought to be of the most concern to them because you've got a team in L.A. that the jury is still out as to whether or not they're going to be successful, whether or not they're going to be embraced. And then you add another team on top of that that wasn't popular where they lived 2 hours away, right? And that was the big fear about Los Angeles is that it couldn't sustain a team that wasn't successful. And neither of these teams are very successful. Among all the North American sports leagues, the NFL has moved the most in the last decade. And it's not even close. If they were able to pull off a deal to move to Vegas, despite the Raiders' best efforts to sabotage themselves, if they were able to pull that off, it would be one of the smallest media markets in the NFL. It's not the ideal spot. And then you have the gambling concern and the lifestyle concern of, you know, the players who would be drafted and live out there. I think the NFL has to see it as a crisis. The one thing that was great for the league about not having a team in Los Angeles was that every team that had trouble with their own home stadium could threaten to move to Los Angeles. It was the ultimate piece of leverage, and now that's gone. So that also makes it harder for some of these teams whose stadiums are getting old and are going to want to find, you know.
St. Louis is out there now.
Yeah.
Not quite the leverage, I
guess.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's like threatening to move to San Antonio.
Doesn't work out so much. Oh, so the Raiders situation in Vegas, the Sands folks apparently moved their money out of it. They're not going to do it. So what's the next step? I know you wrote about this just recently.
Yeah, well, the next step, I think, is to cobble together a group of investors who are going to put in as much money as the Sands Corporation was going to contribute. I think the one thing that NFL owners had concerns with Sands' involvement is that they were putting up so much money and they were going to have so much stake in that stadium that it was going to be like the Raiders were purely tenants. And it was really, an Adelson-controlled team for all intents and purposes. And nobody wanted a casino magnat owning an NFL team for lack of a better phrasing here. But so I think that was very orchestrated last minute by the NFL to kind of put an end to that. And I think it really hurt the Raiders' chances of ending up there. But it still could happen.
What's going to happen in Oakland now?
Yeah.
That's the next question, right?
Yeah. Well, so it's crazy to think that, you know, I remember when the NFL had teams in East Bay and at Candlestick in San Francisco. And now you're not going to have a team in the entire Bay Area because the 49ers are in Santa Clara.
Right.
You know?
It's not even close.
Yeah. That's wild to me. But, you know, I think towns like Oakland and San Diego have made it clear that they're not up for the status quo of cities footing the bill for NFL stadiums. And I think it's a positive thing for a lot of these communities.
The remarkable thing, Robert Klimko from Monday Morning Quarterback, is that the Jaguars are not in that conversation anymore of moving. And that was certainly a conversation 6 years ago, right?
Yeah.
That has just disappeared. And Shad Khan, Jaguars ownership, has a big hand in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an underrated storyline in this league because I remember just 4 years ago we were talking about, oh, yeah, the Jaguars are playing in London because they're going to move there. You never hear that anymore.
Oh.
You know, and it's not like they've turned things around on the field and gone to the playoffs, but I think he's created a business environment that's sustainable.
Robert, we talked the other day, and you have a story coming out. I don't know if you want to break the story
or
the news, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And it's around the young coaches in the National Football League and how technology maybe helped them gain an edge and maybe get over the hump in some circumstances. And there's a Jaguars coach involved in this story.
Right? Yeah. So talking to a few coaches, you know, you always try to identify trends. We're going to do a week of technology stories here pretty soon. And
for the nerd audience out there.
Yeah, right. For the off season, it's one of those move the chain stories, right? But there was a wave of guys who became quality control coaches in 2001 and 2002. And those guys' jobs used to be to just pour over the VHS tape and draw up the playbook literally or the game plan on paper. And in like 2001, 2002, a tech boom came to the NFL. A lot of programs like Playmaker and came out. They started using the Avid computer system that a lot of movie making, TV production companies use. And these kids got a leg up on the competition because they were able to learn that stuff really fast and teach it to the older coaches. And now these kids are coordinators in the NFL. You know, they're Nate Hackett, Robert Saleh, an extent, Kyle Shanahan, who's now a head coach. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan told me a story about bringing all this new technology to his dad around 2004. Like, look at what we can do. And cut our time in half. Like, you have to trust me. We have to convert to this.
The old school football guys are like, no, we're staying till midnight anyway.
Exactly.
And then you got to break through that sometimes.
Yeah.
The youth movement.
That when I was asked Doug Marrone about Nate Hackett, and Doug lit up because he was like, yeah, you walk into Doug's office and he's got four screens going, and you know he hits a button and everything changes, and he can keep track of it all. He's a multi-talented, multitasking guy, and I think Nate is emblematic of this generation of coaches.
The next step for that, though, is how does it equate to success on the field, right?
Yeah.
And did you do much research into that?
Well, I think a lot of these guys struggle with having all of this information now at their hands and then not being buried in it and not being bogged down and not overthinking all of it. And I think that's where a lot of the older coaches come back and say, all right, let's concentrate on what we can actually teach to these players and at the level of success that we're having, what they can retain and actually execute.
Robert Klimko, Monday morning quarterback. You've been there since 2013, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
I guess you're digging it, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's
pretty
awesome.
Pretty cool gig.
It's awesome. Peter King is a great boss to work for. I've got.
You have like 17 riders, by the way, or something now, right?
No, it's like six.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah. We've got Albert Breer, Emily Kaplan, Jenny Vrentis, great colleagues. You know, and I think the cool thing is that Peter has all these ideas from 30 years covering the NFL that he's not going to execute because he's at home in Manhattan, and so he gives them to us.
It's pretty cool. And you go execute them well, no doubt. And you're out of Chicago still, right?
No, I moved to Denver.
You're in Denver.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And, hey, we'll look forward to the story. When's it going to come out?
Probably next week or the week after that.
Okay, next couple weeks. Yeah. Keep an eye out on the technology. All the nerds out there, keep an eye out on the technology story from Robert Klimko. Always great to see you. We appreciate your time on a late evening.
Thanks for having me.
There he is from Monday Morning Quarterback. Robert Klimko joining us at the Indiana Convention Center. We'll come back with a look around the National Football League, and this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
We continue from the Indiana Convention Center. The NFL experience happening here. Lucas Oil Stadium right across the street. Testing has started for prospects, different position groups each day. And our behind-the-scenes footage shot a lot this week by executive producer Dave DeCandis, who joins us now on Jaguars Thursday. For the first time in a long time, you're in front and not behind the camera. Good
to
have you, man.
That is true, but actually tell the truth why I'm on here.
Why?
Because you looked around and couldn't find anybody else.
No, we had three great guests to start the show with.
Oh, yeah.
And a really, really good great guest.
And it just flies high, and then it just drops
and
right off.
Maybe kind of my boss, too. Hey, yeah.
Well, it's all right. Whatever.
You got to suck up to the boss a
little
bit.
Oh, okay. All right.
Whatever. So the coverage this week on Jaguars.com. It's always fun to come here and cover this thing because you get so many angles. You get the Jaguar angle, you get the prospect angle, you get the draft. What are they going to do at number four? And all that is thrown into like a four-day blender.
Yeah, it is. And kind of the cool thing about this year, I think, is we haven't heard from Doug or we heard from Dave at the Senior Bowl, but we hadn't heard from Doug since he got hired back in early January. So it was kind of some anticipation to see what he had to say and talk about the coaching staff and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. And also this year, just the whole atmosphere here just is completely different.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. I mean, we were crammed into the lobby of the stadium, this is my third combine the last 2 years. And it's just a different feel. It feels like an event where before you felt like you were covering an event going on. So you weren't part of the event. Now you feel like you are in the event. So it was cool. But kind of the mechanics of it's still the same, which is kind of weird. So today we followed around. Dave Caldwell was on the podium, like you saw on Jaguars.com if you're watching.
That's right.
And we followed him around as he did his media tour. So each coach and GM, basically after they do their presser, they go around and talk to national media types and other radio stations and all that kind of stuff.
I think we did one on Gus last year. Gus Bradley, yes.
Yeah, so we did it with Dave this year, and it was good. So it's kind of interesting to see them walk through the hallway and say hi to some people, you know, walking down the hallway saying hi to the Texas general manager, Rick Smith. It's kind of cool.
Coming up?
No, I didn't hear any of that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not at liberty to say.
Oh.
And stuff like that, and talking to some writers and all that kind of stuff as they move through the media tour and stuff. So actually told a pretty funny story on the NFL Network, which you'll see when we post it probably tomorrow morning.
It's going to be tomorrow on Jaguars.com.
Yes.
Okay. You don't tell
us? I don't want to tell a story.
Okay, but there's a nice story.
It's called
story.
A tease in the business, JP.
Thanks for the tip on that. I appreciate it. So check that out on Jaguars.com. It is interesting to see how many people have a piece of an executive's time here at the Combine.
Yeah, these
guys. There's never really any free time.
And then if you think about it, too, like in Dave Caldwell's position, he has all of his media obligations, then he's also interviewing players at night, and he's also has to watch all the workouts. So it kind of, I always joke with our scouts and then some other people who have left the Jags and gone to other places. I always go, you're busy this week? And they always kind of look at you like, shut up. So, but, yeah, those guys are unbelievably busy this week. So it's kind of interesting. I'm glad they, you know, I appreciate Dave Caldwell giving us a little piece of his time and us follow him around.
It's really nice access, no doubt. You can check it out here on Jaguars.com coming up. You know, we're one of, and Robert Klimko mentioned this a moment ago, that as this thing has grown, the Combine, most teams now send their own digital departments mm-hmm. here to cover this event, and that continues to grow year after year. But it's not just one team for themselves. It's a group effort a lot of times on getting the pressers and the video and such to use for later. It's a kind of a group thing.
Yeah, that's good you mentioned that, JP. It's kind of a cool thing that it's about, I think it's about 14 teams. We get together and we basically, so at one time today, there were eight press conferences going on just on the podiums, and then there was another six interviews going on all at the same time.
Nuts.
And if you want any of that stuff, it's kind of hard to move around and pick up your camera and tripod and move your whole setup to each thing. So kind of what we did as teams in the NFL is we got together and everyone has a post throughout the day, and they sit there and babysit it and get as many interviews as they can, and then it all gets dropped into a big server and we can all share it. So it's really a good thing set up. Fran Duffy from the Eagles, who I know he's not listening, but
he's not? What are you talking about?
I don't think he's listening to Jacksonville radio. But he set it up, and he does an awesome job organizing and getting more and more teams involved every year. So this is the second or third year we've done it. And it makes our coverage so much better leading up to the draft. So we don't necessarily post everything to Jaguars.com, but we use it for our coverage leading up to the draft. And we do position previews and we do highlights of some of the top 10 guys that are in mock drafts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's really a useful tool for us. So, and it's kind of interesting too for me, who came from local TV background, mm-hmm. where, you know, we use the affiliate system. So all the Fox stations in the country all kind of work together. All the CBS stations in the country work together. And now all the NFL teams are kind of working together to kind of make their product good. So
that's how it works. The thing continues to grow. And so the rest of the week, we got Live Tomorrow. Adam Kaplan, ESPN, is booked. Mm-hmm. Vic Carucci, I believe, of the Buffalo News, is booked as well. Should be good guests there. And then Saturday, we'll have Inside the Jaguars, kind of wrapping up the week of work here, right?
That's right, yeah. And then, of course, watch for some different guys on the podium this week. We'll post, mock drafts, that have some certain guys going to the Jaguars. Top five guys we'll post. And there'll be some more behind-the-scenes stuff. I don't want to tell you what it is just in case things fall through. It doesn't happen.
Oh, of course. Well, you don't want to overpromise and underdeliver.
Correct. And so it should be fun. It'll be good. And also, a big part of this week, like I was saying, is getting ready for our lead up to our draft coverage. So it's been a good week. It's been fun. And it's so different this week as in the past. That's what I can't – still on the second.
Right.
Yesterday, it was just the coaches talking. But today when you added the players – I mean, this place was a madhouse at about 3:30.
Absolutely.
And I overheard John talking about how as a writer, he didn't like it. But, there's a certain cool factor to it, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not great for work. Yeah. But at the same time, I sat back for a minute and looked around. I was like, holy cow, this thing is an event.
Yeah.
So
it's not just set up in the little walkway in the lobby anymore. That has changed it. The NFL experience is here. Have you done any of the –
No, you don't want to see that.
Bench press? You're an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I probably put 225 up a quarter of a time. I get to my chest and then not the rest of the way. So I guess that's a half because you get it down, but you can't get it up.
So we might need to show folks on Jaguars.com before this week is over what that's all about, too.
Yeah,
we talked
about doing that. Yeah. I think that's something you might see tomorrow.
Yeah. Perhaps. Oh, perhaps.
We may shoot it tomorrow then post it later in the week.
Always interesting, too, to get the national media perspective on the Jags. This is one of the key events where we get to do that. We had a group at the Super Bowl this year that had a chance to do that as well for the first time. But this is one where the Jags, at least in recent history, have always been at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
And always in the conversation nationally. The narrative's been there that they're in the mix if there's movement. So there's always interest, and even more so now when Todd Coughlin comes back in the mix and Marone's around. There's really a lot of talk around Jaguarland here.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how the difference from a year ago to now about the talk. A lot of it was last year was, as everybody knows, up and coming, mm-hmm. a lot of young talent, whatever. And this year it's all about, well, how's it going to work with all the changes? And I think Doug and Dave answered those questions pretty well the last 2 days. I think, you know, just the, like Osher was saying earlier, is you get the feeling like this is really a team effort between the three of them. And I just think it's been interesting to kind of listen to those guys. I think it's kind of cool if you're Dave or Doug that you walk down the hallway and there's a Hall of Fame coach at your disposal that you can ask him any question. I think, you know, if Bob Costas sat two desks down from me, I'd probably ask Bob Costas a few questions, right?
I would think so, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Use the resources that are there.
Right.
So it's a great resource to have. Yeah. And they've explained that a little bit this week. Hey, thanks for coming on, Dave.
Hey, I hope I filled time.
It was great. we're looking forward to the rest of the week here and the coverage on Jaguars.com. You and Hollywood Max Hockman are here on site. Patrick Cavanaugh is back home, and Brian Sexton as well, and everybody that puts all this stuff together. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work here.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's a good group, and we all have a good time, and you know, hopefully everybody out there likes what we do, so that's why we do it.
There he is.
And are we about to go around the NFL?
Yeah, we can. You want to stick around and go around the NFL?
Sure, why not? But I don't want to answer anything. Can I comment if I want?
You can do whatever you want, Dave. You're the executive producer.
Can I say, let's go around the NFL?
Go ahead.
Let's go around the NFL.
Let's go around the National Football League. The music didn't run. Yeah, I don't know what happened. We're on site either here. Let's start, though, with Leonard Fournette. The LSU running back,
music.
He spoke with the media today and drew one of the largest crowds on media day for the running backs. He weighed in at 240 pounds, which was 5 pounds heavier than he weighed in previously. His playing weight was 235. He cited water weight for the 5-pound gain and said, hey, don't worry about it. He's going to be at 235 come playing time.
At least he's staying hydrated.
Apparently he is. There's no doubt. The other battle is with him and Dalvin Cook, who will be the first running back gone. Both of those guys talked today. Both had big crowds, and we'll see in the next few weeks what happens in that area. There's a lot of off-season contract trade talk out there as well. Alshon Jeffrey said he wants to be with a contending team. Well, who doesn't want to be with a contending team is the question. The free agent receiver said he's looking to sign with a contender on March 9th. Well, of course.
He's probably scared to come to the Jaguars because he wants Jalen Ramsey to cover him every day in practice.
That is a good point because that didn't go well for him the second half in Chicago last year.
I'm good at this. Just making some small jabs in there. I like this.
Samaje Perine, running back from Oklahoma, put up 30 reps on the bench press, more than any other running back, and he's not a huge guy either. Samaje Perine bringing the heat today.
I didn't know who that guy was, but...
Joe Mixon were a two-headed backfield at Oklahoma, and Perine is a very good option at running back. So the bench press numbers, if you're into that kind of thing, are starting to come out today. John Lynch spoke with the media today, the new GM of the San Francisco 49ers, former secondary man for the Bucs, of course, and Fox analyst, all of a sudden in the GM role, and he drew a huge, huge crowd. And he said that the Notre Dame quarterback, DeShone Kizer, blew them away in the interview process, which is a little more frank than you're used to hearing from general managers here at the Combine.
They're picking three in the draft, too, right?
They're up there high. Yeah.
Three? Mm. Don't want to share your cards. Maybe he's hiding in plain sight.
Maybe the new GM is playing a little
bluff. Hold on. And also, let's tell people. So, basically, you don't prepare anything. You just read the headlines off of NFL.com.
Depending. So, thanks for ruining the magic of
problem.
Radio, Dave. It's real nice.
I just thought there was
more
prep for the show.
First and last appearance.
Well, if I'm
Jaguars
on the show again,
Thursday.
We have bigger problems on Jaguars Thursday than
unbelievable.
Cowboys, you looking at NFL.com,
are hoping to trade Alfred Morris and re-sign Darren McFadden, who McFadden's been at it for a while now. Not that it matters. You know who the starting running back in Dallas is going to be, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
It's just kind of whatever.
For the guy who gets 5 carries a game.
Yeah, to spell him, to get a cup of Gatorade guy. That's the story in Dallas. Saints wide receiver Cook could be on the trading block. Couple of teams might have interest, the Eagles and the Titans. This is where we're at this time of year. Free agency's coming up. League year opens March 9th. Every agent in the league is in town this week. They're roaming the hallways, not in the actual center, but in hotel lobbies and such with GMs. That's why a lot of these stories come out.
That's right.
Because as you know, even out of this building, in lobbies and in restaurants, and that's all that happens.
Yeah, it's like a little NFL convention. And be sure to follow all your Jaguars free agency coverage on Jaguars.com.
That's real well done.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll have all that coming up. That's it for our look around the National Football League. So coming up for Jaguars.com, free agency coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That starts March 9th, maybe, depending if the Jags sign some people that day. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, so it'd be technically for Jaguars.com March 10th.
Okay. It's
because it doesn't start until 4 o'clock. And,
oh, it's
and
a little
then
late.
And we have, you know, we have certain rules we have to follow during free agency that that the national media does not have to follow.
And then leading up to the draft and then all that, there's we'll have some countdowns, top prospect countdowns coming up.
We'll do that. What else we got coming up? Yeah, then
draft
we'll go
night,
through that draft. Yeah, we got
State of the Franchise.
State of the Franchise, that's right. That's
it's
big.
On Wednesday. We'll have coverage
one.
Of that coming
up. We'll be
up.
Live coverage of that. And, yeah, just keep tuned to Jaguars.com all the time. We're trying to do new stuff all the time. So.
And you're a big part of that.
Oh, thanks.
Dave DeCantis.
I'm just a small part of it.
Joining us here.
The crew on Jaguars.com is unbelievable, from Max to Patrick to John to Sexton to Shadrick. We're all – the good thing is we're all in it together. We're all trying to bring fans something special. So that's, I know that sounds really dumb. But,
no, but it makes a lot of sense.
And, I appreciate you, everybody that watches. So it's really cool to get comments and all.
Thanks
that
for
stuff.
Ruining my Around the NFL segment, Dave. Well, that's real nice of you.
I got to put it out there.
So that'll do it for Around the NFL and Dave DeCantis. Coming up here from Indianapolis, the next couple of days we'll have Jaguars.com live. That comes up tomorrow at...
Noon. Yes.
Adam Kaplan is the first guest from ESPN. Vic Carucci from the Buffalo News will join us as well. He knows Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone very well from the time in Buffalo. We'll get a little more insight as to how things really went down in Buffalo and what has happened and transpired in Buffalo since then. A lot has changed in that market since Doug Marrone opted out of his contract and then came down to Jacksonville. That's coming up tomorrow. And then on Saturday, inside the Jaguars, we'll wrap up the week here. We'll have some more media interviews. We caught up with Pete Prisco earlier. That'll come up on the website. You know and love Pete. He had a lot to say about the Jaguars at the number four spot, and he hates a running back at number four. You'll find that out as well. And Greg Cosell from NFL Films, a senior producer, always good on the quarterback position. We asked him about the state of the quarterback position for the Jags, including Blake Bortles. So that's all coming up in the next couple of days here from Indianapolis. We'll wrap up our coverage on Saturday. We're out of here on Sunday. Our thanks to all our guests today, John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, Chase Goodbread from NFL.com, and Robert Klimko from Monday Morning Quarterback, and Dave DeCandis.
You're welcome.
From Jaguars.com. For our entire crew in Indianapolis, Big Country from 1010XL, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night from Indianapolis. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.